All right. Good morning, Emmanuel. It's good to be here, being able to preach to y'all, bringing the word. When Josh asked me to come and speak to y'all and preach to y'all this morning, I said, well, gladly. I mean, I want to give Josh a break, you know. I mean, we all know how great and wonderful our pastor is, and he deserves a rest. He deserves to take a little break. Not just him, but as well, I mean, our great discipleship pastor, Chip, everybody, all our staff, everybody deserves to take a little break, rest a little bit. So I was like, man, I'm excited. I'm ready to come with the word. I'm ready to preach it. I'm ready to just give what God has blessed and continue with our Sermon on the Mount and just give it all to him. So I'm kind of laughing a little bit because I'm thinking when Josh had, you know, pretty much said I would be preaching, and I went into his office and he was pretty much telling me what I'll be preaching on, he looked at me in my eyes, he took a deep breath, and he said, man, I'm going to be honest with you. What you're going to preach on is going to be tough. So I looked back at him, I was like, okay. So first sermon, first time preaching, and you're just going to throw me out in the water and stuff. But I said, hey, I'm going to just continue on. I want us to keep moving forward. I want us to keep moving with the Sermon on the Mount. So I said, I'm going to just give it my best, and I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to just move in. So I just want to just give y'all a full head-up warning. This is nothing but the Holy Spirit. This is only Christ. This is not Juwan, because if it was for him, hey, I'm telling y'all now, if it was just me, it would be all over the place. So I just want to throw that out there before we get started. So this morning, we'll be talking about obedience to the law. And don't worry, I'm not going to be talking about government, police, none of that stuff, and politics. As much as I know, as much as everybody would love to talk about that, no, we're not here to talk about that at all. We're here to talk about a little bit of what Jesus wanted us to see when it came to following the law and the way he viewed the law and how he wanted us to see it in a different way. And the law we're going to be talking about is a law that was deeply rooted into the Old Testament, a law that he wanted us to not only forget it's there, but he wanted us to remember. See, the thing about the Old Testament, it's kind of funny how sometimes we want to skip past the Old Testament because the New Testament is so bright, so pretty. We see all that Jesus has done. We see all that Jesus did and the sacrifice he made and how much grace and how much love. But the thing is, the Old Testament brings something so deep, and it's trying to teach us something, a lesson that we all have to just abide by. And that's the thing, you know, when I was thinking about just what God was trying to teach in this and what he's trying to show us, it's something that we have to just have that reminder of seeing that, man, when it comes to being rooted in following Jesus, there's some obedience that falls into that. So this morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, and we're going to see what Jesus is trying to speak to us this morning and the way that he's going to show us where our obedience should lie and how we should follow him and all these things. So I want to go ahead and read that to y'all this morning. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. I'm going to give y'all a little second to kind of get there. All right, so verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of pen, will be by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whew. So Jesus was being real. Jesus was not sugarcoating nothing. He wasn't making it easy for nobody. I mean, he just wanted to be upfront. And one thing I want to kind of just point out, you're probably thinking, hold up, John, hold the phone. Wait a second. Where is obedience in these verses? I don't see the word obedience. What are you talking about? Where is obedience fly in this? So y'all have to kind of track with me. We're going to kind of just, one step by step, just fall into place everything that Jesus is trying to speak. Because I may not look like this is talking about obedience, but there's a clear line in all these verses that Jesus has truly shown us that he's trying to speak obedience into our lives. So like I said, you have to track with me a little bit. And, you know, as we kind of go in and dissect this verse and kind of just speak life into it, I was kind of thinking about the word obedience on itself. It's kind of funny how the word obedience, if you think of the context of it and how often we use it, most of the time is you hear the word obedience when it's like a kindergarten class, when the teacher's referring to kids and trying to teach them obedience. Or maybe it's when, you know, you as a parent trying to teach your kids, hey, you have to be obedient. This is what obedience looks like. But when we get older, as we become adults, we don't really look at each other. I don't go up to another adult and be like, man, you were really obedient today. Man, you were just obedient. You're just an obedient person. You know, it's not something we really do often. I mean, at least I don't know if you ever just go around and tell other adults that they were obedient today, but I know I sure don't. So, you know, it's kind of funny how the word obedience on its own, it kind of, as we get older, it falls out of place. You know, it kind of leaves the context of our mouth. It kind of, like I said, we just don't use it often. You know, and I think when it comes to the gospel and what God's trying to teach us, I mean, that word obedience, it still plays a huge part. And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to teach us. So I just want to start off with our first point into leading that the law is active. You know, the law is alive. The law is something that Jesus still wants us to follow. And I look at it this way. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of laws. There's a lot of stuff for us to talk about. So in verse 17 and 18, Jesus kind of dives in. He said, hold up. And this is who he's speaking to. He's speaking to pretty much all the, he's still preaching. He's still speaking to the crowd. He's still letting them know, look, the first thing he wants to throw out the window right in, before anything else to say is that I am not here to abolish what the prophets have done. And what he means by that is all the prophets from the Old Testament, all the preachers, everyone. Because see, this crowd, they really looked up to them. They really looked up to them prophets. They really looked up to them, the fact that they looked to them as inspirational speakers, as preachers. And a lot of what Jesus was doing seemed as though he was discrediting them or pushing them away or making what they did kind of seem irrelevant. But Jesus said, no, I'm here to fulfill that. So everything that was happening in the Old Testament, everything that the old scriptures have, you still have to abide by that. He said, I'm just here to fulfill it. Don't think I'm here to push this away or discredit anything the old prophets did. And that's what Jesus was trying to explain. Look, I'm here to fulfill that so you cannot just act like it doesn't exist. And so how does that apply to us? How does that even make any, because like this is a crowd that didn't understand that. You know, we have the Old Testament. You know, we have the New Testament. We have the Bible in our hands, and we understand we should follow that. But how does that apply to us? I'll look at it this way. You know, like I said, the law is alive. So is it really alive in our lives? You know, when we think about the Old Testament, we kind of think about, all right, what are some of the things in the Old Testament that's super relevant to us? Ten Commandments. Very simple. One of the first commandments is what? You shall have no other God before me. So how do we show that? How do we actually live that out? Do we actually live out when it says you shall have no other God before me? I don't know, because sometimes I feel like in my life there's a lot of gods that I put before my one God. There's a lot of things that's blocking up how I view him. There's a lot of things blocking up on how much time I spend with him. When I also think about it this way, there were sacrifices being done in the Old Testament. Now, we don't all go outside and sacrifice an animal like they used to do. We don't sacrifice people. We don't do all the sacrificial things they used to do. But I think when Jesus said that we should abide by the Old Testament, he still meant we need to sacrifice our time, our effort, our resources, everything that we have before him. That's what our sacrifices look like now. And that's the sacrifices that Jesus would continue on us to follow. So as you can see, the law is still alive. It's still moving. It's still pushing. Everything in the Old Testament that we need to abide by, we still have to keep following that. You know, I heard it from one of my seminary teachers. He said it this way. You know, it's funny that if we had the ability and we had the power to take the Bible and rip out everything that we felt like had no text or no kind of meaning or no kind of purpose for my life, if we had the opportunity to literally just rip out as many pages as we wanted, I wonder how many pieces of paper and we left in that Bible. I wonder how many pieces of paper we still actually think that, oh, I think this still applies to my life. And you know, that's the funny part, because I mean, let's just be honest, how much of us just loves reading Leviticus? We just feel like we just ripped that entire book out and just be like, I got the rest of the Bible, I'm good to go. But here's the thing, Jesus said, no, all of that is alive. All of that is still flowing. All of that is still important in our lives. You know, and I think that leads on to the second point into saying that this, we have to practice and teach it. What do I mean by that? What do I mean we just practice and teach it? Well, here's the thing. Obedience falls on the line of not only practicing and following it, but you got to be able to teach the word. You got to be able to say, look, the stuff in the Old Testament may seem irrelevant, but I still have to practice those things. I have to still abide by it. I still have to be obedient. And that's the biggest thing. We have to practice and teach those things. And, you know, when Jesus was trying to show everyone, look, you got to follow and teach all these things, he was basically, look, saying that obedience comes through practice and teaching. And, you know, I kind of think of it this way. if you were to say, look, I follow God, you know, I do all these things for him, I serve at my church, I do all this stuff. But the thing is, okay, you're following, and that's awesome. Or are you actually teaching it? And that's what Jesus was trying to say. Obedience goes beyond you just following. It goes to teaching. You got to be able to teach that. And I'm going to flip it around. I'm going to do a little reverse on it. Now, if you're teaching it but not actually following it, you're still falling short. You're still falling short on what Jesus was saying. Because Jesus said in verse 19, you have to follow all these commands. And you have to teach them all. So, I mean, yeah, you can be a teacher. Because, I mean, let's just be honest. There's a lot of pastors out there. And I'm pointing at myself, too. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of speakers, a lot of people that's anybody, not just pastors, but just any Christian that's going out there sharing their faith, living out what they so-called the life of Christ. That's supposed to be teaching, but they're not actually following it. It's just they're saying it the right way. People are hearing it. It's kind of like ear candy to their ears. They're hearing it. It sounds good, all these other things. But if you look deep inside their lives and what's truly going on, they're not really living up to that. They're not truly following it. So it becomes place in place. It's a follow and a teaching aspect that falls into it. And that's what Jesus is trying to show us. Look, all these commands, all these things from the past, all the things the prophets said, you got to follow and you got to teach it. Follow and teach it. Teach it and follow it. All these things have a purpose. You know, I kind of think about my mom used to tell me all the time, you know, she would say, slow obedience is no obedience. What does that kind of mean? Well, she was basically saying that partial obedience is literally no obedience at all. And of course, as a kid, you know, I was growing up, I used to play video games. I still play video games a whole bunch. And, you know, I would hear my mom say something to me, and it was like, all right, mom, I'm going to do it. Keep playing, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, bye. So I finally decided to go do it. My mom, she wouldn't say nothing to me. She would do this on purpose. And she did it a couple of times. I would, you know, she would tell me to do something. I'd wait a long time. Wouldn't do it. Finally go do it. And one day she finally stopped me. She said, so if I just decided not to just, you know, I don't know, just decided to not pay for something or give you something when you really wanted it, you know, and I just waited forever to provide for you or care for you, how would you feel? You know, I thought about it. And she said, and that's when she sat down and told me, she said, you know, partial obedience is no obedience. Your slow obedience is literally you saying that I don't really feel like it. This is important what you're telling me, so I'm not going to do it. You know, and that's how I feel like exactly what Jesus was saying. You know, you can't just teach, you know, without following. You can't just follow without teach. You have to go all in. It has to be both together. And I say it this way, and I laugh a little bit when I think about it. You know, for me, obedience wasn't really a word. Obedience was more or less a leather material that went around your waist. It was kind of used multiple times on my rear end, bare butt. So, yeah, obedience for me wasn't exactly a word. I learned it in many forms and fashion. But nonetheless, it was something I had to learn. And it was obedience, and it was something I had to go through because, like I said, it took me to realize, man, if I really want to teach and follow what God has called me to, man, I really got to aim for that obedience that he's called us to. So the last point I want to hit on this is our heart. It's all about our heart towards the law. Our obedience and the way that we follow Jesus, it all comes down to this. What is truly our purpose? What is truly our goal? What is truly our heart to follow him? You know, it's kind of funny because the Pharisees, you know, when they viewed what Jesus was saying and they viewed what they were doing, you know, they were like, man, we're doing it right. You know, we're following all the laws. We're doing everything that God has called us to. You know, it's, you know, and that's exactly what Jesus was saying. He was saying in verse 20, you got to have more righteousness than the Pharisees. I find it funny because the crowd that he was talking to, when they viewed what they viewed the Pharisees as was greater than almost any human being on the planet. When Jesus dropped that bomb on them and said, you have to be more righteous than the Pharisees, to that crowd, that's like somebody coming up to me. Anybody know Usain Bolt, the fastest man in the world? Pretty much run in the World Olympics pretty much fast as I don't know what. That's like somebody coming up to me and saying, look, Juwan, I know you have like no training. I know you're not prepared for this at all. I know that you probably have never probably ran this much in your life, but I need you to outrun Usain Bolt. That's literally what somebody come up to me and tell me to do. Basically, that's what Jesus was telling the crowd, was saying, I need you to be more righteous than the Pharisees. So how do we be more righteous than that? How do we go past that? How do we truly have obedience that surpasses even the Pharisees themselves? You know, I think it's, like I said, it just goes back to that heart. Where does your heart lie when you follow in Jesus? Is your obedience actually because you're trying to show people who Christ is? Or is it your obedience is just because you feel like you're more holy or you need to be greater than anybody else in your faith? So how can we apply this? How does this matter to us? I'll say it like this. We can keep acting like we're following Jesus. We can keep acting like we're supposed to be this great people that just always have to be so obedient in everything we do. But unless you are actually following Jesus from the heart and the spirit, then your obedience is lackluster. It's empty. It's not actually going after God. And that's exactly what the problem with the Pharisees was. They were so focused on just following the law, keeping everything in line, making sure they were just this holy and great people. And that was the problem with them, was that they were so focused on that they forgot, man, there's something that goes greater. That's why the Pharisees were so mad at Jesus when he did something on the Sabbath, because they were like, dude, the scripture says you can't do anything on the Sabbath. What Jesus was doing was still for the kingdom. And that's why I believe it falls into place. When your commitment to actually living for the kingdom and doing things for the kingdom, it shows that you truly are obedient to the law. Because you understand where your spirit is, you understand where you're supposed to be, and you understand what you have to do for the kingdom. And that goes beyond anything. And that's the law that Jesus wants us to follow. That's the law that Jesus wants us to stick by. You know, and I'll say it like this. You know, I've been talking to a lot of people, and I've just been praying and just asking God, you know, where's my obedience? You know, I'm sick and tired of just doing the same things, just believing I'm doing everything right. But my Jesus, and I like referring to him like that, my Jesus, he was more obedient than anything, more than anyone. He was more obedient than any way possible to us. Ain't it crazy that a God of the universe, our Jesus, our Savior, was obedient to the human race? We don't deserve it at all, but he was still more obedient than all of us. And that's what he was speaking in the sermon, was saying that, look, your obedience has to follow these commands because it is what I came to fulfill. And it's just amazing to see that my Jesus did that for me, that my Jesus sacrificed all that. My Jesus was so obedient to me, even though I'm never truly as obedient to him. And it's such a powerful and amazing thing to see that and see him move like that. So I want to ask us this morning, as we just begin to close up, to just, how can we be more obedient? What are areas that you need to work in that you can be focused on being more obedient to Christ? You know, is it that you need to remember that the law of the Old Testament is still alive? Or is it the fact that you need to be able to remember that, hey, I don't need to just follow, I need to teach these things? Or maybe, hey, I just, even though I'm teaching these things, I need to be better at following. Or maybe it's just you have to remember, hey, where's my heart at? Am I still really doing this for the sake of the kingdom, or am I just doing this for my own reasons to see my glory and myself be higher than all these things? So I want to focus on all those things and try to apply all those things and think, where, Jesus, where do you need me to follow and be more obedient in? So as we close up, I want us to just stand and pray and just ask God just to show us more obedience. Show us how can we be more obedient. So in that moment, in that time, and you just having that quiet to yourself, just think of where you're feeling like you're lacking in obedience towards Christ. If you need to come up to the altar, or however you need to do it, if you need to pray with somebody, pray with me, anybody, we're all here to pray with you. But we just want you to walk out here today understanding that, hey, I want to be more obedient for my Jesus. And I want you to claim that. I want you to claim that in Jesus' name, my Jesus. He is my personal Savior. So pray that this morning as we go in your quiet time in prayer. Father God, we just thank you this morning for just being all that you are, Jesus. And God, showing that obedience is more than what we think, Jesus. Jesus, obedience is truly living out who you called us to be and following you. And Jesus, I pray that we're just thankful that you don't waver or you don't move when it comes to being obedient to us. And it's amazing that you truly are a God that serves us and lives for us and sacrifices for us in ways that we can't even imagine. So, Father, I just ask that we continue to go through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, continue to just teach us all that we need to understand. And that your messages and everything in the Old Testament that still applies to us, God, that we just keep that alive in our spirit and our hearts. Because, Jesus, I'm just tired of that lackluster faith. I'm just tired of that lackluster obedience. I want to show you that you are my Jesus and you are my Jesus alone. And everyone in this room today, we're just lifting up that in your name. So I pray that we seek obedience in all that we have and all that we continue to be. And let us not forget that it's truly not an obedience of just out of the law or just true obedience. It's not obedience just out of the sake of doing something for our own gratification. But it's obedience that truly satisfies you in your name and your grace. All for you, your glory, your kingdom, your name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.